You're listening to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. I'm John English, the Germs guy. He's Alan Zog, the Jedi. How's it going? When the shark bites. Hey, thank you. Tip your waitress.
You're listening to Jedi and Germs, the weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And we're all sitting on pins and, well, not pins and needles, but we're waiting for the adrenaline to wear off after that game. As we speak, folks, the Jazz game just came to a conclusion in overtime as the Jazz win.
Yes, Jazz are back in the playoffs. They're back in the eighth seed. They beat the Rockets in overtime despite the officials' best efforts to screw them up in that game. I would hope. I don't. How long have they been doing these last 2 minute reports?
It's
fairly recent, isn't it?
No,
like the last couple years.
Yeah, I was going to say it's something like that.
I would be very interested to go back from when it started and just compare season by season and see just how many of these reports they're doing. And that's just the last 2 minutes, because there were so many bad calls at the end of regulation and then in overtime. It made it unfun to watch. I mean, even though the Jazz won, I still have this pit because I'm just so frustrated at how obvious it was, and yet these calls were just insane.
Yeah, you know,
I'll feel better tomorrow.
The thing is, too, is lest any fan, even ourselves, get too carried away, the calls were even on both sides. I think both teams went to the free throw line fairly close in number, the last I checked.
That may be, but let's just see what the last 2 minutes report says.
So,
but no, I'm really happy they pulled that off. I think they're a better team than Houston. They like each other more than Houston likes each other. Houston's just got a lot of talent, but you know, I think the Jazz really earned that win. They grinded it out. They're back in the eighth seed now. Hopefully we can take some positives from this and, you know, tackle what's ahead. For the previous week, that means Jazz went 2-2 this week.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm surprised they went 2-2.
No, I'm not either. There's a couple things I want to talk about in this 2-2 stretch, though. And I was going to ask a question. This was not in our show notes, but I want both yours and Devin's opinion on this. But the Jazz, what is their mental makeup right now? Because I maybe I should be more specific, but I'm looking at the Washington game, I'm looking at the Portland game, and then again tonight in the first half of this Houston game, uncharacteristic turnovers. And they aren't just turnovers forced by the other team. They're turnovers that are self-imposed. What's the mental makeup of this team? Where are they mentally? Are they as good as we thought they were?
There was some discombobulation tonight. There were some weird rotations. I think they're trying to get used to things. I mean, Shelvin Mack started. We just got him a few days ago and he started. So that, you know, that takes some getting used to.
And I guess we can write off 6 or 7 of the turnovers tonight on him alone, and that's probably part of it. Yes.
He had 6, unless he got another one in overtime.
Right.
Yeah, but he was still overall a positive for the Jazz. You know, I'm glad to have him. He so far in the 2 games, he has turned out to be a much bigger contributor than I ever would have thought. So yeah, it looks like it was worth giving away a second rounder from 2018 to pick him up. Now we have a few games for the Jazz kind of figure out what they're really going to do, what the rotation's going to be. I think Neto only played 8 minutes tonight.
Right.
Neto, I mean, this just means Neto has a shorter leash.
Yeah.
And Neto's had his share of bad games. So if he's starting Mac and Neto gets first substitution, if he starts out rough, then we know Neto's not going to get very many minutes tonight. And Trey Burke had a rough first half, but that second half, he really came through in the end, and he kept the Jazz in the game. I mean, when Hayward got poked in the eye, Trey Burke made back-to-back threes to keep them afloat while Hayward was out. And
I can count at least one play where defensively he forced a turnover. I don't know if anybody else really caught that play, but Harden had an isolation play one-on-one with him, and I'm sure that most Jazz fans were probably holding their breath, but Harden really had no move on him at all. Trey played him straight up, forced Harden to pass the ball into the corner that ended up coming over to the side again in a turnover. I thought was a critical turnover in was it either the fourth quarter or overtime? Which one was it, Devin, we were watching? Do you remember where it was at? I want to say maybe it was fourth quarter, but it was a critical turnover at that stretch.
Yeah, it was somewhere in there. So he did a good job of just staying in front of him.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I looked at Devin at one point when he did that. I thought, you know, that's right there is all you can ask from Trey, where he struggles from defense, to stay in front of Harden like that, a guy who's very difficult to guard, and played him straight up, played him well.
I was just kind of looking at our upcoming schedule. We got the Spurs next.
Yes, we do.
At least it's a home game.
It's a late start, too, because it's on TNT.
Is it? I thought that one got canceled.
No, it's this Thursday, and I thought it was a late start, 8:30. I thought I heard Locke saying it on the radio. I thought this was an 8:30 start on Thursday night.
Well, let me just check that real quick. Yeah, it is. It's an 8:30 start.
Yep, it's You're a right. Thursday night game, and it happens to be a TNT night. So it's the second night of a doubleheader on TNT.
Spurs don't happen to have people injured, do they? Hey, they do.
As we start to look for any sort of chinks in the metal, is that what you're looking for?
Leonard's missed a couple games. Did he play against the Kings tonight?
Did not know. I don't know.
Ginobili's out. That's something.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, Spurs are 47-9. They're improved quite a bit, actually, over what they were last year. You know, when it helps when you pick up guys like LaMarcus Aldridge and David West in free agency. But you know, I will be super impressed if the Jazz pull off that win, even if it's a home game. It'll just, you know,
in fact,
Jazz had lost 3 of 4 coming into this game. So,
well, and I'm looking at their next three games, and I have a hard time saying that they go better than 1-2. Because
Boston on the road is going to be really tough.
Yep, the one game in this next three games that is a very winnable game for the Jazz is Brooklyn, and that's at home. But besides that, no, they've got. I mean, on the road at Boston is a tall order. At home against San Antonio is a tall order. If the Jazz go 2-1, you got to feel pretty good about where they're at right now. But I'm not going to hold my breath. 1-2 is where I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, if the Warriors weren't having a record season, we'd all be talking about this amazing season the Spurs are having. So they'll probably go 1-2, which means they'll be one under 500 to end February. That might mean they're back out of the playoffs by then, but Houston's not great. I mean, they've lost 7 of their last 10. I think a lot of them were really surprised that major moves weren't made.
Can you bring up the current score in the Portland game? Because on my way here, Portland was winning that game after, I think, the first quarter. They've won 6 in a row going into tonight.
They're up by 6.
Okay. Yeah, they're playing Brooklyn tonight. So they should win that game.
Surprisingly close for playing Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, and they were up 15 earlier in the game, I think. No, I, you know what? You're right. If they're a game below 500 to end the month, I mean, March doesn't bode much better. But, you know, I'm the reason why I brought up the mental makeup question is I wonder, it's not so much how tough these guys are mentally. I still think they're very young. And I know people are tired of that excuse, but they are. And they're making some mental mistakes. Granted, you know, tonight, Sheldon Mack, you know, the last couple of games, Sheldon Mack, new to the team, that could be part of it. But I hope in this push, you know, going into March, you can't turn the ball over 20 times in a game and expect to win any ball games. And that's not going to get you in the playoffs. That aside, I still think the Jazz will make the playoffs. In fact, I have them. That's my pick. They will make the playoffs. In fact, yep. I'm quite confident that they will. Where is the real question at this point in time? And you get Alec Burks back. Shouldn't be too much into the month of March before Burks is back on the floor with him too.
Yeah. It sounded like it was going to be a couple more weeks, but
yep.
You know, we could use him back, the sooner the better.
Absolutely. Okay, that's our Jazz stuff. I wanted to throw in one more. I don't know what other thoughts you might have on the Jazz, but I want to throw in one more thought. This last week, amongst the news since our last episode, obviously Shelvin Mack joining the Jazz, but also Randy Rigby announcing his retirement from the Utah Jazz as president. And, you know, what are your thoughts on it, John, Devin?
He's been a familiar face and voice for decades.
Yes, he has.
And, you know, deserves it. Good for him. Calling it a career, moving on to his retirement life. I've never actually met the guy, so I'm not that broken up about it or anything, but, you know, he's been one of those steady fixtures for the franchise.
Everything that John said.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to take a minute to at least mention him on the show. I have met him in person. In fact, I know him. I know him personally on a personal level, and he's a wonderful man. And yes, as you mentioned, John, he's been involved with the franchise for decades. He's just a wonderful guy. And I mean, I know Locke would have a lot to talk about in his conversations with him over the years and other people that have worked around him. Knowing him on the level I've known him, he's the type of guy, he's a big fan of the game. He's a fan of basketball. He's a fan of the NBA. And just as importantly, he's a family man and a guy who cares very much, not only about the organization, but about the community. And I just want to say, I congratulate him on a great career. I'm glad he gets to go out and retire and enjoy a future. So it's good for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. But if he'd stick around for like another three seasons, he could be part of this championship organization.
Well, I mean, if I read correctly, he's still going to be a part of the Jazz organization in a smaller part over the next few years, if I read that correctly. So, you know, anyway. Just wanted to take a minute to tell Randy thank you. So, any other thoughts on the Jazz to this point?
I'm not as bullish as I was before the All-Star break. I thought they would go on a great, solid run, but the loss to the Pelicans kind of shook me. I don't think they're going to get to fifth. I still feel pretty good about them getting to sixth or seventh. It's just going to be a little, it just seems like it's going to be a little bumpy now. Getting Mac in, figure out what they want to do with the point guards. I'm very optimistic once Alec Burks is back in the rotation, but I think the Jazz are going to stay around 500 until he's back.
I agree. I actually don't mind that either, because I feel like getting Burks back and integrated, getting Mac comfortable in the system and with his teammates is actually going to benefit the Jazz more as they go into the playoffs, you know, should they. ideally, I'm hoping they hit that sixth spot, because I really don't want to face San Antonio in the playoffs. Truthfully, I'd rather face Golden State.
Well, I don't want to face Golden State or San Antonio. I think you lose in four in both of those series. I personally don't think I'll tell you right now, any team that gets in that seventh or eighth seed, I really think faces an uphill battle against either team, and I don't think gets out of the first round with a win at all. So I just, Golden State and San Antonio are going to move on, and it's going to be with ease, most likely. As far as Alec Burks, as far as the lineup, Shelvin Mack, you know, Devin noticed tonight when we were watching the game there in the fourth quarter, Jazz went small ball for a bit. In fact, a different lineup that we've not seen. Hayward played the power forward with Favors playing the center. And who'd they have at the three? Was it Rodney Hood?
They had CJ.
They had Hood at the three.
And then CJ at the two.
No, they had CJ at the three.
CJ at the three. That's right. That's right. CJ was at the three. Who played in the, who was playing
and
the two?
And then they had Mack and Burke.
They had Burke and Mack playing together.
Yeah. So you,
and that's what led to Mack being open for those corner threes. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't want Mack shooting those threes.
But
it's because they're playing the two.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That small ball seemed to work for a little while defensively too. I kind of liked it. And Quinn does have a lot of flexibility with the lineup. You add Burks back into it, and he even has more flexibility. He's got some opportunities with this lineup going forward and with Burks coming back in that I think could be very interesting. I'm with you, though. I don't know if the Jazz get the fifth seed. They're 4.5 back of it right now. That's a tall order, 4.5 back, but I could see him. I'm with you, Devin. Sixth seed is something I'd like to see, yes.
You know who might get that fifth seed?
You going to say Portland?
I am going to say Portland.
Oh!
I mean, we're talking about them, and we saw them play the Jazz, and it was a close game. But just within the last week, you saw what they did to Golden State.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's jump into NBA notes, other NBA notes here. John, did you watch any part or see any highlights of that Golden State-Portland game?
Yeah, I watched the highlights, and I've come to the point where I'm just happy if anyone beats Golden State, and I'm especially happy if Golden State feels like Dame wasn't being very sportsmanlike and scoring 51 points on him. It's like, you guys dance and celebrate after everything.
Well, and the best part about it is some of those replays, some of those highlights you watch, a couple of those different shots he got with Steph Curry fouling him in the process, and you could see the look on Steph Curry's face like, come on. Watching that. You watch Golden State lose, but not just lose. They got destroyed. They lost by 32.
Well, and keep in mind, Dame did that in like 32 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Can you imagine
ridiculous. If he had played another 10 minutes in that game?
Portland's tied for sixth right now. So
yep. So and as if the NBA needed two back-to-back 50-point nights, Davis goes off for 59 the next night. There's two notes for NBA points there.
I'll tell you, that's a matchup I'd like to see. The Warriors and the Blazers in the playoffs.
Yeah, but it won't get to that.
Might have to wait for the second round.
It could.
If Portland gets to the fifth seed and wins, yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
No, Portland gets to fifth and beats the Clippers. I could definitely see that. I'm shocked that Portland is this good, but they have a real chemistry thing going. I mean, Lillard and McCollum are kind of the poor man's Curry and Thompson, and all the other players are filling their roles great. They don't have a third star like Warriors have Draymond, but you know, they have a solid enough rotation in there that, you know, they're surprising me. They're surprising everyone.
Is that the Jedi and Germs bold prediction? Does Portland win in the first round as a fifth seed and beat the Clippers?
Let's let them get to the fifth seed first, and then I'll think about it.
It would be interesting because the Clippers, I think, did a very nice job of addition by subtraction in the recent months, especially with that trade with Memphis.
I'm surprised they gave away a first in that, but I think Jeff Green is definitely an upgrade over Lance Stephenson, and I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. but I think that's going to be really good for that team. And have you seen the stats on Josh Smith?
I have not.
Since Josh left the Clippers bench has improved in almost all of their numbers. And since he got to the Rockets bench numbers have declined in almost every category. So
it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I think they did a couple good moves where, I mean, you looked at those signings and you thought, okay, they got a veteran player. They took a high risk with Stevenson. But now that they've kind of moved on from that, I think you'll see the Clippers get a little bit better. It'll be interesting what happens when Blake comes back. That's really, I think, what's going to determine their fate if they get out of the first round. Does Griffin make them better, or does it kind of go back to where they just seemed a little discombobulated?
I think Griffin makes them better. I know they're playing really well without him, but I mean, Blake Griffin's a top 10 player.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine him making them worse.
Yeah, but Dwight Howard was a top 10 player.
Devin makes an argument there. Dwight Howard was a top 10 player, and maybe Griffin's heading that same trend.
I don't know. It's a story to follow with the Clippers because they have potential to be, you know, one of those teams that makes it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they can beat San Antonio and Golden State. I think maybe they could take a series to seven games and steal it. Maybe. But I don't know. It's something that has my interest at least.
Yeah. I
wonder if they're another first round exit if they go ahead and trade Chris Paul or Blake Griffin.
If I'm them, I wouldn't trade Chris Paul. I think that would be a mistake right there. I still think
he's the
Chris
older
Paul
player.
Yeah, but I still think he's the best player on that team. And that says a lot because of what Blake Griffin does, but I think Chris Paul is more important to that team than Blake Griffin is.
Yeah, but you have to think about where they're at in their career and how long they're going to sustain the level
right.
of play. If Chris Paul's going to drop off in a couple years.
I agree. No, I get it. I get the reasoning you're both talking about it. I'm just saying right now. Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. So,
well, plus Doc has a lot of power there. And
yes,
Doc's
he does.
Not much for good trades. So maybe it's moot.
All right. In other NBA notes, the trade deadline did come and go. We had, there were some good trades, maybe. And from what I gathered from a few tweets that I saw hit from some media tonight, the Jazz may have been the biggest winners in the trade deadline, getting Shelvin Mack. That's a suggestion already. But you mentioned in the notes one particular trade that looks like it may be vetoed as a result of injury.
Yeah, Demo and Marcus Thornton were traded by the Rockets to Detroit, but Montahunas failed his physical, and so that trade has been vetoed. So Montahunas and Thornton are coming back to the Rockets, and it means the Rockets are still have those salaries on their books, and so it's going to have tax implications for them.
Ouch.
See, kids, this is why you don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah. And here's the thing with the Rockets. If they make the playoffs, they lose their first round pick. If they miss the playoffs, they get to keep it. Otherwise, it goes to Denver. And, you know, with the sad season the Rockets seem to be having so far, maybe they won't mind missing the playoffs.
Tank
White
watch.
Out. They can waive Ty Lawson. Suddenly they have a ton of room.
Tank watch. I want John's tank watch to return. This time it's all about the Rockets.
Rockets tank watch.
Oh, but okay. So aside from all of those, who were your winners in trade deadline?
Oh, I mean, there were only like two players who play more than 20 minutes a game. I think Phoenix was a win for getting rid of Markieff Morris. good for them. I thought Detroit was a win for getting Tobias Harris for what they got. And I would say Orlando's a loser there, because when you look at all the last minute trade deadlines and how many players yielded picks, it seems like the Magic probably could have gotten more for Tobias Harris. I'm trying to think. Oh, Memphis. Memphis, yes. I was going to call a big loser, but in a way, we're all winners, because that is the most crazy roster now.
Right?
I can't wait to watch the next Memphis game with all those guys on that roster. That's...
Let's see. They sent Corey Brewer packing, right?
Courtney Lee.
Why did I say Corey Brewer? Oh, yes, because I was thinking. Yeah, we just watched the Rockets. That's why I said Corey Brewer. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they sent away Courtney Lee. They had Mark Gasol is definitely out for the whole season now, and they got back PJ Hairston and they got Lance Stevenson on that team now. You already have a team with Zebo. Oh, they got Chris Anderson. So you have Zebo, Chris Anderson, PJ Hairston, Matt Barnes, Tony Allen. Just this team of delightful guys that
West Side are
on one team. Just can't. It's so awesome. It's like a Zach Harper dream.
Yes, Zach Harper, if you're listening, that was a reference in your direction. Zach Harper, that was for you. That's high praise.
I just love that they've embraced it. You know, I read something on Twitter that said they were going with Goon Squad as their nickname. And it's so fitting. And they're another team. I'd love to see them slip to eighth and have them play Golden State in the first round.
Memphis. Maybe just so you can see Lance Stevenson sucker punch somebody like Green or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel like that would get out of hand so fast.
Oh, I'm rooting for that now.
And then you have the Blazers.
Oh, that
play.
Would be delicious.
Blazers take on Golden State after they've been roughed up a little bit. You know what I mean?
John's having a feast on the thought over there already.
We should really put together a fantasy
system. This needs to happen.
System.
This needs to happen.
Memphis versus Golden State in the eighth seed. There you go.
I mean, if I was guessing, I would guess that it's going to be... That's actually very realistic.
It is.
I mean, Warriors, Grizzlies... Spurs and Mavericks,
yes,
probably Thunder and Jazz, and then Clippers and Blazers. That's probably what the playoffs are going to be.
And that, I would love that, because you would have the legends of Dirk and Duncan going against
Dirk
each other.
And Duncan.
You'd have the Jazz going against their friendly rivals, the Thunder, where you know there's some bad blood there.
And it's Kanter versus the Jazz.
That's what I'm talking about. And then you'd have... Dame and the Blazers going against the Clippers. Oh, man.
You're just...
Dame versus Chris Paul.
Watch out.
That's it.
John called
it. I think we have booked our playoffs.
Yes, we have. book your tickets, your plane tickets, your hotel reservations.
I'm taking
Set
work
it.
Off.
It's
I'm
gone.
Just
it's done.
TV.
John's calling the matchups delicious, and Devin's over here salivating over it.
Think about that. All of those would be great.
Yeah, they would.
This needs to happen. I mean, the Jazz would get killed, but they'd probably win a game in there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be awesome.
Any other NBA notes or news? I can't think of anything.
No, I can't think of any. And I'm okay if this is shorter than normal, because
I am too.
Just finished an overtime game.
What I do want to throw out there is, as we have been speaking, both Talk Hoops, our good friend Zach, and Locke tweeted out some interesting thoughts, and I retweeted them just in case you didn't see them. David Locke, building off of Talk Hoops, who had actually just previously tweeted a basketball reference from basketballreference.com about players that have scored 27 points on 7 or fewer shots. Locke built off that. Since 1982-83, only 3 Jazz players have scored 27 points on 7 shots. Hayward, Adrian Dantley, and John Stockton.
Yeah, just saw
Hayward is in good company right there. So, and so in case anybody didn't notice the final stats for Hayward, he missed two free throws, but he did not miss a shot the rest of the night as far as himself on the floor, and scored 27 points on, what was it, seven shots. So good night for Gordon Hayward. A very good night.
Not a max player.
Yeah, you're going to have lots of people jumping on that one. So, yeah, there you go. Good night for Gordon Hayward.
Man, if he had made those, he would have set the record. As is, Chauncey Billups still holds the record.
Duh. Mr. Big Shot.
Well, I think that covers our NBA stuff. I don't think there's any other sports stuff really going on, is there? I mean, spring training starting with baseball.
Yeah, and then some sort of legislature going up on the Hill, but we don't need to get into that.
No, we don't have that in the budget.
We might get somebody running an audit on Jedi and Germs, and suddenly that intern over there will get fired.
Hey, the intern's free.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, he's free, air quotes.
Maybe he's siphoning from something. Who knows?
All right. Anything else we want to jump in on, or do you want to even get into movies, or should we just call it at this point, huh? Late night?
I was just going to say I saw The Witch this week, which I thought was a really effective, creepy thriller. My wife hated it. She said it was slow and boring. And we usually agree pretty much on stuff we see, so it was really interesting to have that stark difference.
That's a very dynamic difference from stark or from creepy thriller to boring and slow. Wow.
Well, it's not your usual horror movie that has like these beats and jump scares. It just does a really good job, I thought, of setting up the atmosphere and making it feel like it was really paying close attention to period detail. Try to make it feel like what it would have been like in 1630 to be in the new world when there's only, you know, maybe a few hundred people who've come over to start settle this land. And back when people really did believe that, you know, witches were real and believed in folk magic and stuff. I thought all of that stuff, they did a good job. And I was engrossed by the story. And I could see how if she wasn't buying what they were selling early on, then it got slow for her. I didn't have that problem. I really enjoyed it.
All right. So there you have it. The Witch.
So
on another note, there is some sort of award show coming up. Is there not?
Yeah, but
the
if I know anything about John and in his thoughts on all of this, John, are you joining in the old, ban the Oscars, don't watch them?
No.
Okay, I didn't know that. I know there's a lot of people
that are... I'm saddened by the, Oscars so white.
Yes.
I think one thing that would really help them... They've proposed these other rule changes, which I can't say I agree with. They're trying to edge out old people. And I don't think that's necessary. I think what would really help them is if they just added a sixth slot to each of the acting categories and directing. I don't think anyone would complain about that. And I think you would have minorities come up more often. The main problem with Oscars So White is that the movies the studios are greenlighting and the parts they are casting, that's not giving minorities as much of a chance to shine.
Right.
And when you look at the actual winners, the amount of blacks who've won Oscars is actually proportional to the population. It's Latinos who have hardly any representation in winners and nominations. It's usually pretty rare. So what the real solution needs to be is studios need to be more cognizant of the variety that they are offering and in casting. And then there will just naturally be more people to choose from. I mean, personally, I thought Idris Elba should have been nominated for Beasts of No Nation for supporting actor. He would have been in my top five. But when I look at all the categories, I can understand why it happened to shake out that, you know, all 20 nominees were white.
Didn't we just have a black female win an Oscar a year ago? Lupita Nyong'o. Didn't she win it?
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress.
12 Years a Slave was 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's a controversy because if I remember right, last year they were all white, and then this year was like the second year in a row. So it was almost like 12 Years a Slave won, and then the very next year they think they're all done. I think there was a lot of people who were upset that Selma wasn't nominated for more.
Right.
Selma was really good, but you know, I could understand why it missed out on acting.
Right.
Although I think he probably might have been good enough to get nominated, but really that year was all about Michael Keaton versus Eddie Redmayne anyway.
Well, there you go, folks. If you want to watch John's thoughts on the Oscars this coming Sunday, because I guarantee you he will be live tweeting them. I can almost picture him doing so. Follow him, Germs guy. I'm sure you're going to be live tweeting a bunch of it, aren't you? You're going to give your thoughts as it goes along.
I will be.
Yes. So, as a final thought, as a shout out or a mention or a, you know, just a show of love, Ginger Bear, from Twitter, Clint reached out to me earlier this evening. She's come up with quite the name for Mac. I don't know if you saw that conversation, but, Shelvin Mac, she's got that, what does she call it? Shelvin Special Sauce or Special Sauce Mac. And then she, which I think it's funny. Everybody's trying to come up with nicknames for it. And so she said, oh, it was Mac Special Sauce. That's what it was. And it seems to be catching steam. But then she turns around and she tweets a picture and says to me, Mac and a bulldog. Maybe the nickname needs to be incorporate an 18 wheeler. And there was my first thought ever with Shelvin Mack. I started thinking of Mac, you know, like on the Cars movie. You know, he's a Mack truck. Watch out, Mack truck's coming down the middle. I don't know. Anyway, so Ginger Bear with some creative thoughts on nicknames for Shelvin Mack.
Do you have any better ones?
I don't. I think it's great that somebody can come up with something like that. And credit to Ginger. She's a great follow. If anybody, you know, if anybody doesn't follow her, go out and check her out on Twitter. She's a great follow. So
I'm just trying to think of what we had. I heard the special sauce. I heard, you know, Mac Daddy, Mac Truck, Big Mac. I'm a fan of Macadocious, but, it'll be interesting. There seems to be this obsession with giving everyone a nickname. You know, like, I mean, even Tibor Pleiss.
What's his nickname?
Vanilla Pleiss.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's great.
Everyone's got a nickname all of a sudden, so.
Oh, that's all right. No, but anyway, anybody want to follow her on Twitter, you go out and find her. It's one to beam up. Exactly how it's one T-O beam up. Anyway, she's a great follow. Great gal. All right. That should wrap it up. Anything else? Devin, you got anything to jump in on with that you haven't thrown in at us yet?
Well, we could talk about politics for a while.
No. All right. Let's end the show.
Okay.
Because I'd be out of sorts on that one.
America's going to hell.
There you have it. All right, folks, thanks for joining us this week. Shortened version of Jedi and Germs, thanks to the overtime victory for the Jazz tonight. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs, and on Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Pretty easy to find us. Interact with us, follow us, get with us, tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear more. Interact with us. You can find each one of us, Germs Guy, Jedi Zog, and Torn by Devin on Twitter, tweeting away our lives away as if we've got nothing better to do.
We don't.
No, we don't. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll look for you again next time on another episode of Jedi and Germs. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.